He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning live edition of the Best Stocks Now show on this October 6, 2025, and we have a mixed-up market to start the new day, and one big, huge winner in the market, which is one of our largest holdings, so we're happy about that. The Dow is down right now. It was up. Now, all of a sudden, it's turned south. It's down 284 points after hitting new all-time highs last week. The Dow is at 46,474. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, helped by AMD. AMD is up 27% today. You heard that right, on a deal with OpenAI. And the NASDAQ is hitting an all-time high today of 22,880. The S&P is up 6 points to 6,721. That's a new all-time high. The bond market is getting roughed up quite a bit here. Interest rates are up to 4.19 this morning. That's a jump of four. Now they've dropped back. They're 4.15, but we're still up a few basis points there. Gold is closing in on $4,000 per ounce. That's $64,000 per pound. It is at $3,967, up 1.5%. Crude oil is up a little, 1.43%. And Bitcoin is closing in. This could be that. I think that's a new all-time high.
Yeah,
125,057. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a fee-based only nationwide investment advisory firm. And we saw new highs in the market last week across the board on the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and the Dow. Today we're getting some slippage on the Dow, but we're getting a new all-time high on the NASDAQ, and AMD is the big story. We'll get to that in a moment. But first we want to hear a sideline report. Barry was at the one top 20. You saw the Texas, you saw Arch Manning against the Florida Gators, and give us a little quick report on that.
Yeah, me and the family drove down, took them to their first game. I went to Florida State, but I've attended a handful of games at the Swamp before, so took them, my wife's a Gators fan, so took them to see their first game at the Swamp, so kids had a great time. It was good, you know, good, clean fun. We were actually in the only section that was Texas fans. We actually sat a little bit behind their band. They were
nice. I always
they were great. Yeah, they were great
the
people.
Tuba guy,
yeah,
you know?
No, they were. They were all very nice. They didn't have much confidence in their team coming into the game, apparently. And I guess they proved true. Florida, I think, won by eight. So.
Yeah, Texas was a major powerhouse last
year.
So. But
there's Manning looked, regardless of them winning or losing, I can tell you that the hype is worthy. I mean, you see the ball come out of his hand, and it looks different coming out of his hand than it does other people's hand, period.
So is he the son of Peyton? Or
He's the son of the brother who didn't play. I think the brother had a neck injury. I don't remember his name in a minute.
But
it's his son, and of course he's named after after
Archie,
Grandpa Archie,
who I watched.
He was at the Saints. Growing up on the Panhandle.
Yeah,
he was a
fun
hero
to watch.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I did notice there's quite a few 5-0 teams right now in the top 25, so it's shaping up to be a pretty interesting college football year, along with the stock market, which has surely been plenty interesting. I think the biggest story, at least on the global stage, is what's going on in France. Basically, with the resignation already of their prime minister. And you know, a lot of you might just hem and haw and say, who cares about France, you know, whatever. But anyways, they are in quite a mess over there. when this 2 weeks into the job.
It didn't last very long.
No.
And I mean, I just, you know, it's one of those things where they're trying to get, you know, I guess get some consensus to put a, you know, to form a government, and you know, no surprise, the division grows. Yeah,
There's a great divide in the world these days. This next story goes right along with my story in the newsletter over the weekend. I wrote much about comparing the speculative phase that we're in the market right now to 2021, which was the sugar high of the COVID stimulus. There's a little bit of a difference. I mean, going into that year, 2021, we hit that giant speculative bubble, but we had the Fed out there ready to hike interest rates. We're hitting the same valuations and the same speculative bubble that we hit in 2021, but the Fed is easing this time. So we'll see how much more runway that gives us. But what I said on Friday, and I also backed it up with statistics and graphs showing you that we're hitting all-time highs in some of the valuation gauges that are widely used. Warren Buffett's preferred stock valuation gauge is at an all-time high. So that's pretty good company, Barry. Gunderson calls it on Friday in the newsletter, and Buffett backs that up with his own gauge. I don't know. I'd have to look at what the formula for his gauge. Measures the total market capitalization of publicly traded U.S. stocks relative to the nation's GDP. Okay, that's an interesting measure, but it certainly has worked for Warren over the years. His ratio is now higher than 2-1. So the market capitalization of publicly traded U.S. stocks is now 2 times greater than the nation's GDP. That's an all-time record.
That's interesting.
It's a broad measure of market valuation comparing the size of Wall Street to the size of the real economy. And when the ratio rises well above 100, it suggests the market's value is outpacing economic output, a potential sign of overvaluation. But at 2-1, I would say we're at an extreme value, area of overvaluation right now. And, you know, one of the measures that I use, and it certainly back in 2021, ARK Funds, Kathy Woods, who's out there on the long-term
long duration.
And you know, how her fund is performing is definitely one of the indicators that I watch. Is how hot has that speculative area of the market become? And the title of my newsletter was "Crypto, Quantum, and Rare Earths." And you could also put in, it didn't have enough room in the title, you could also put in small nukes, right?
Small nukes. Small nukes would be a good one.
Those stocks are absolutely on fire. And I bring that up because that's the outer band of the market, right? That is the speculative long term, which would be the first to go, you know, when usually an adverse event of some sort will start the wheels in motion. But, you know, with Buffett's gauge, the highest it's ever been, he's been in the market for a few years, I want to say 50-plus.
Yeah.
I've been in it for half of that, 25-plus, and we're going back. We're exceeding the price-to-sales ratio of the year 2000. Price-to-book value is at the same levels as the year 2000. The P.E. of the S&P, which is 27.8 right now, hasn't quite reached the 30 level that we hit in the year 2000. And then, of course, price-to-cash flow is hitting all-time highs. So you have to have that in the back of your mind to know where you're at any given time in the market is a risk. Risk management tool, because you have to step a little more carefully. There's some landmines that you could step on, and blow up. You know, pieces of your portfolio could blow up very, very quickly. And I'm seeing, you know, I also mentioned Kathy Woods' fund. got up to 160 that year, Barry, in 2021. So let's use that as a gauge. It got to $160 a share. It got as low as $30 a share. That's how overvalued the speculative area of the market was at that time. To go from 160 to 130, that's an 80% correction in that wing, in that aisle of the supermarket called the stock market, all right? And it's only back to 83. I mean, she's not even close to the 160 we reached in 2021. And now we're hitting valuations once again from that sugar high of 2021. So I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. And when we come back, I'll add just a little bit more color to that. And then we'll talk about AMD today. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Before we get to AMD, I wanted to mention China and some things that I learned over the week. Well, number one, China is buying Iranian oil, and they're using the barter system. They're the biggest buyer of Iranian oil. And, of course, China is totally – China and Russia are one with each other. I mean, China, Putin and Xi are very much, paired up together. China is using the barter system for Iranian oil, thereby avoiding Western sanctions in Iran. In exchange for Iranian oil being shipped to China, state-backed Chinese companies build infrastructure in Iran. And we learned recently that Russia is building nuclear reactors in Iran for them. So there seems to be a little triage there.
Iran builds the drone, helps with the drone technology for Russia.
And the reason I bring this up, my wife and I cooked breakfast yesterday for our little group that we have a stewardship over in our church. And I would say half of them are in the Navy. So God bless them. I mean, they're serving our country. And most of them are in the nuclear program. And I asked them, I said, what are you learning? How to manage a nuclear reactor? How it works and how to maintain it. I said, man, you guys, when you get out of the Navy, you're going to be in the garden spot. But then we talked a little bit about the world stage and whatnot and Russia. And they said, Russia is not the threat. Russia's stuff is all outdated and old. And then I said, what about China? Then they paused. They said, they're building the biggest Navy in the world. And one of the girls in our little branch, she's going to Taiwan for a couple years to teach English over in Taiwan. And they said, there's the threat. It's China. But really and truly, China and Russia and Iran are all kind of one right now. So I just want you to think about that when we talk about all-time high valuations in the market. It seems like we're also kind of reaching all-time high danger out there in the world today. Okay, now, speaking of Taiwan, who's Jensen Wang's cousin, Barry?
that's Lisa Su at AMD.
You got it. And, I think we did the right thing early this year in March, April, when I said, we're going to close down the dividend and income fund because there's not any inefficiency in that area. And we're going to start not a pure value fund, but it is pure value if I find pure value, but it's also a relative value, which is pretty much a cutting-edge concept. I've never seen maybe growth at a reasonable price would be. But I look at the historic multiples where stocks have traded at, and when I see them dip down into an area that they haven't traded at in quite some time, I swoop in and buy it. One of those stocks was AMD.
Yeah.
Which you cannot make the argument that that's a pure value stock, okay? I mean, the multiples would suggest otherwise. I'm going to look and see here when we bought our initial position. I mean, we swooped in all at the same time. I want to say it was about April. And, you know, by the way, that relative value fund has really grown. I mean, as people invest in it and say, hey, I want some exposure to that. And it's also performed very well so far. I'm pretty happy with I think we've already caught up with the S&P. And don't forget, we're not even fully invested yet. We started from a standing
start.
You've
still been deploying capital. Yeah.
Yes. And there was a time when the S&P was always fully invested, right? And we were like 25, but we have almost, we're just a half a point behind the S&P now. But anyways, we bought AMD on June the 3rd at 116 a share. As of Friday, we were up 45.7%. Now today, you can tack on another 20, it's at 209 today. 209, and we picked it up at 116. We don't quite have a double, but we're up in that 90% gain so far, okay? And you know what? I mean, AMD, if you rank the chip stocks out there in the world today, NVIDIA is obviously the dominant player, but I think you'd have to argue that Broadcom or AMD are number two or three, you know, depending on the day and the week. I think AMD's
somebody's
got to
be two and three. Right?
Yeah. And I think AMD with the Taiwan connections and the Jensen Wang connections, and they're going after the, you know, the AI chips themselves. But OpenAI chooses AMD to help build out their data center and infrastructure. And that stock up 27% today on that news. So we have another big winner in our portfolios. That's going to push us past the S&P 500. We currently own 22 stocks in that portfolio. We have 30% cash. So I have room for about 10 more positions if I find them. But we've had, you know, Peabody Energy's up 160% since we bought Peabody. Now, there's no guarantees going forward. And past performance, all the usual disclaimers, past performance does not indicate, but we're going to use the same methodology and the same, way of analyzing these stocks as we have. BTU is a coal stock, and what they're finding, that copper mines, gold mines, coal mines, they always overlook the rare earth. They had no interest in the rare earth, the antimony and whatever else. They just wanted the coal. Now they're discovering that a lot of these mines also have rare earth in them. And you've also had a return.
And the infrastructure's in place, too, to get the rock out. Right?
Yes.
Because you've already, I mean, it was a working mine to begin with.
And you've had a return to coal under the Trump administration to just bridge the gap to the nuclear, which is coming. But it's still, you know, 5 years out there. And then we have another one, Talon Energy, which is more than a double in that portfolio. And that's, of course, one of the nuclear ones that's out there on the horizon. So anyways, I really like that that portfolio. I seeded it myself. That's the model I just follow. I do exactly in my portfolio. Then I tell you what I do, and that has become the model for this relative value portfolio. And, of course, big news on AMD today. It has come back a little bit. It was up 35% at one point. But AMD is now a $330 billion stock. Barry, I remember when it was 50 cents a share. Now it's $210 per share. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, I'd just say one other thing, too. As I looked at Kathy Wood's ARK fund, well, I believe it's up 65. I'm going to give you the exact number here of how much it is up year to date. I just look at that. It's one of my temperature gauges. It's like looking at the dashboard of your boat or your car at how am I doing? You know, we're going up a steep grade here. I can remember when our radiator blew up going up the grade there going to Las Vegas in my Grand Prix car, you know, that was back in the probably the early late 60s, early 70s. That temperature gauge going up that to the Holleran Summit. I remember the steam coming out and the engine up, right? Okay, so I look at Kathy Wood's fund as one of the temperature gauges. Over the last 12 months, it's up 92.5%. Year to date, it's up 55.6%. And keep in mind that the vast majority, I'm going to say 80% of the stocks that she owns have no earnings at all, none. They're out there on the horizon hoping for earnings someday. But because of the speculative phase that we've entered into in this market, which you shouldn't ignore a temperature gauge. One is Warren Buffett's temperature gauge, and the other is the Kathy Wood temperature gauge. You shouldn't take those for granted. You should realize, you know, that that's going on underneath the surface of the market. But as I look at her new buys here, I mean, it's just more of the same. Intellia Therapeutics, 101,000 shares she bought. Okay, that's, you know, that's gene editing, which has not really become a thing yet. She bought 122,000 shares of Baidu, which obviously is a big Chinese stock. She bought 85,000 shares of Alibaba. She bought 278,000 shares of Kodiak AI, which is a robotics stock. It's a driverless trucking technology firm in the early stages. She bought 160,000 shares of DraftKings.
She added to that one, I believe.
Yes.
I thought she had okay. already, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right. She added. And she added more than 263,000 shares of a pink sheet stock, JDLGF, which is a Chinese supply chain management and logistics company. Okay, all right. This is not exactly sleep well at night. Swan. They use that terminology on the Seeking Alpha, S-W-A-N, sleep well at night. That's not exactly stocks out on that edge. And then, of course, she still has big holdings. Her top 10 holdings, 8 out of 10 have no earnings. Roku, what's the video game company that starts with an R? She's got a big chunk.
Roblox.
Of that. Yeah, Roblox. Yeah. Okay. So, anyways, I'm just saying.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, I was looking at the returns like you were over the break, and what really got me was that you know what the 5-year number is? 5-year return.
Not very good.
It's minus 5.45%.
Yeah, because if you got to 160.
Yeah.
In 2021, and you're only back to 83 today, you're still down 50% from your high. And so, she's doing the same exact thing she did when she went down 80%. That's a kick in the stomach. And it's going to happen again, maybe not 80%, but 50 or 60 again.
Yeah, and if you
and
think
she
about
doesn't
it,
get off the railroad tracks, Barry. She stays on the railroad tracks.
Yeah,
why?
I guess you can amend the prospectus, but I mean, a lot of that stuff goes, you know, you got to go goes a ways. You got to get a vote, this and that and the other. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the time period, 5 years, I would have been back at 10/6/2020, and you'll remember this. That's about the time we started getting out of things like Teladoc.
Yeah, at 200, and now Teladoc's $8 a share.
Yeah.
Okay, what has the S&P done during that same five-year period of time?
Over 97%, you know, for that period. So
yeah,
almost,
there you go.
You know, call it 19% a year almost.
Yeah, okay. So anyways, that is, and that's why I always point to the inverse fund created against her. I mean, that's how unpopular she is or infamous she is. They actually created SARK, S-A-R-K, which sinks. when she gets taken to the woodshed again, that thing will fly higher. So I always look at that thing as a potential hedge against, you know, AI stocks, technology stocks, the NASDAQ.
Really long duration. Right?
Anything long duration or high PE or high beta, et cetera. Okay, another one in the news today is critical metals, which I've talked about many times here on the show, CRML. You can guess what it does. What are critical metals? AI. And we saw the U.S. government taking positions in Lithium America. We saw the U.S. government taking positions in MP Materials. Now the Trump administration is talking about an equity stake in critical metals, CRML, which I have a little bit of in my trading, my speculative trading account that I'm too embarrassed to even publish because it's so far out there on the edge. Maybe it's not as far as Kathy Woods is, I'll tell you that. She's really out there on a limb. But critical metals today, I own 1,000 shares. It's up 72% right now, 72% as the U.S. government is securing positions because of national, national defense.
Defense.
And how important these companies are. This is the third one they've now stepped up to plate. And there are others. There's USAR. There's UUUU, which I've talked about. And there's obviously a lot of speculation going on in that area of the market, which is the long end duration of the market. Global semiconductor sales surged 22% year over year. Just when you thought, where else can they put semiconductors? No, in 1 year they're up 22%. Now we go down to the real world. Okay, Verizon, member of the Dow, they appointed a new CEO. So I thought, you know what? How did the old CEO do? Let's just take a look. Here's his 10-year track record, Barry, at the helm of Verizon. I'm not sure what his name was. Schulman is the new guy. Schulman comes over from PayPal. That's pretty good DNA there that he has. But the old CEO at Verizon over the last 10 years has delivered to investors a total return. This includes the dividend yield of 5.51%, just barely a little above U.S. Treasuries, okay, with a hell of a lot more risk. And over the last 5 years, Verizon, VZ, has gone nowhere. You've had negative 0.24 basis points over the last 5 years at Verizon. So maybe they should have replaced the CEO a while ago. But and it is a member of the Dow, don't forget. So that's why I call it the soggy Dow all the time. You say, well, Bill, it has a 6.4% dividend yield. How can I pass that up? Well, you're basically getting your own money back, right?
Like a return of capital, yeah.
Yes. I mean, if the stock would have just stayed the same over the last 10 years, you would have done better because you would have been collecting the 6.43% dividend. So the bottom line is, over the last 5 years, even with a 6.4% dividend, the stock has gone down by about 7% per year over the last 5 years. And so you have a negative return. And I can just tell you that when an account transfers to us from one of the big firms on Wall Street, almost always it has Verizon in it. Almost
I was about to say,
always.
Verizon
and AT&T, yeah. Right? Almost always. Okay, I'm just saying. Okay, is that wise? Is that wise to own a soggy stock? Now, one of the concepts that we teach is sometimes a lot of successful stocks have an N in that CAN-SLIM acronym, and that's something new. A new product, a stock hitting a new high, or new management. So we'll keep our eye on Verizon. GE finally got the right management, the right recipe, and it's been a big, big winner. Can this guy coming over from PayPal to Verizon turn this ship around, which has basically been stuck in the harbor for the last 5 years, going nowhere? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I just want to mention this South Florida Business Summit. We've had quite a few interested parties on this. This is my nephew, Rory McDonald, who was Clay Christensen's kind of right-hand man there at Harvard on disruptive strategies. He's going to give an interactive lecture Friday, October the 17th, from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. This is at the Longboat Key, St. Regis Longboat Key Resort, which I hear is pretty nice. I'll be there, too, to hear him. And then I'm following him. That's a tough act to follow, Barry. I'll be speaking from 10:45 to noon, and I'm also pretty much a disruptive guy myself. You know, our little family business disrupted the billboard industry for several years, and I would consider myself somewhat of a disruptor in this industry that we are now in. I don't do what everybody else does. I go a little bit different direction, and then also I know a lot of publicly traded companies that have been disruptors and been big, huge successes. And we found many of them. I mean, Align Technologies with the Invisalign braces, Dexcom with the wearable technology to give yourself
diabetes.
The insulin yeah. shots. I mean, one after another, NVIDIA chips. You could go on and on and on and on.
You have to break out your old book and find some of those names that were disruptors to use for when you're speaking.
You know what else was a massive disruptor that I did talk a lot about in my book in 2013? That was the shale boom when they came along with the horizontal fracking. Drilling, the fracking and going horizontal. That was pretty much Continental Energy, Howard Hamm up in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Who was one of the pioneers of that. That totally turned the oil and made us a major power, the biggest producer of oil, in the world because of that new technology that disrupted an entire. They were going back into wells that they thought were depleted and finding that they were nowhere near depleted. Okay, so I speak till noon, and then there's lunch, and it better be good. And then, of course, then we're followed by Newell White, who is also an expert. He's an expert on private equity. So if you're a business owner and or in the M&A industry, whatever, or looking to be acquired, whatever the case may be, he's going to give a speech on how how private equity is influencing this disruptive arm of the markets and how you can kind of, you know, position yourself in that area. So he'll call you and talk to you. If you leave your name with us, call Edie at 855-611-BEST. The cost is $500, okay? I don't ever charge for my workshop, but these guys are PhDs. You know how that works. I'm just a regular guy.
And lunch, not cookies, right?
I mean, yeah, and the lunch better be good. I mean, you know, for $500, that's all I care about. You can call Edie at 855-611-BEST. She's going to then give your name to Newell White, who's a buddy of mine and grew up with Rory McDonald, the PhD, who's now at the University of Virginia, but he spent many years at Harvard and got his PhD at Stanford. And Newell is a very sharp guy himself. And you'll be hearing from the three of us. That's a pretty potent day on Friday, October the 17th. And if you call Edie at 855-611-BEST, or if you go to our website at GundersonCapital.com, you can send us a message through there, and we'll have Newell give you a call and explain a little bit more. You can ask him a lot of questions about what will be discussed that day. All right? Okay. That should be fun, and I'm looking forward to going down there and being with this little high-powered group of guys. Okay, now we've got a little bit more. Micron gets an upgrade today. I was just comparing Micron's returns over the years. That's the first place I go is the batting average, the track record. Whether it's a horse, whether it's a second baseman for the Phillies, it doesn't matter. Whether it's a relief pitcher coming in. I do the same thing with individual stocks, okay? And Micron has actually, if you can stomach the volatility of a very much commodity-based stock, we just said over the last 5 years that Verizon has delivered no return whatsoever. You've gotten the dividend, yes, but you've got a loss that has offset the dividend, and you've got a total return that's negative. By contrast, Micron, MU, out of Boise, Idaho, 32.8% per year versus the S&P 20.2. And we found out that AI needs a lot of flash memory. Not flashy. It's a commodity. But Samsung and Micron are in a pretty good spot. So is SanDisk, by the way. SanDisk was a private company, went private, and now it's back public again. I added it back to the app, SNDK. And SanDisk has also been a major player in all of this. Micron, over the last 3 years, has averaged 56% per year. And year-to-date, Micron is up 124%. Now, that's not on the speculative curve like ARK Funds is. That's an established company that, you know, the growth has been there, the profits have been there for quite some time. You're not hoping that someday they edit a gene in a test tube and solve one of the big illnesses that plagues man, you know, in current times there. So I'm just telling you, you've got to sum up a stock by looking at the track record. Where is it on that scale of risk? And, of course, where is the valuation? They all come into play. Very, very important. We're out of time. If you'd like to get the newsletter from last week, which really delved into the valuations that we're currently at in the market, but, again, the Fed is in a different stance this time than it was in 2021. But still, you can't ignore Buffett's temperature gauge hitting an all-time high. And you can't ignore Cathie Wood's fund being up 55% this year so far. And you can't ignore what happened to it last time it got this high. And you can't ignore that we're hitting price to sales like we've never seen before. Record price to sales, record price to cash flow. Not quite there on price to earnings. You got to go back to the year 2000 to find anything even close to what we're trading at today. And we know what happened in the year 2000. To get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, to sign up for the 4-week trial. GundersonCapital.com, or call us at 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment to discuss your portfolio.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.